Hello everyone, my name is Kate Cooper. I'm Head of Research, Policy and Standards at the Institute of Leadership and Management. Welcome to this podcast, which is the fourth in our series of five podcasts focusing on how you can get better at working at home. The Institute of Leadership and Management recognises great leadership as being multidimensional. We identify five dimensions: authenticity, vision, achievement, ownership and collaboration. We've further broken those five dimensions into components which enable us to organise our content on our website, but it also helps individuals access the leadership support that is immediately relevant to them. The component I will be talking about in this podcast is time management, part of the dimension of ownership. Because how we own and manage our time, given it's not infinite, is a vital ingredient in effective leadership. I'll be focusing on three aspects of time management: what we need to focus on, how we set priorities, and how we recognise and deal with procrastination. One way of looking immediately at how well or not we use our time is to keep a chart. Look at what we're doing every day, and at the end of 7 days, examine that in some detail and see how much time we're spending at our desk, how much on email, how much on social media. It helps us not only look at the bigger picture, but also perhaps gives insights into when we are really at our most productive. Estimates vary, but it's thought by some that we're actually only productive 3 hours a day. So knowing when those 3 hours take place is going to be really helpful when it comes to making the best use of our time. Stephen Covey, who most of you will have heard of because of his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, encouraged us, as have many before him, to distinguish between what's urgent and what's important. It's interesting, isn't it, how often the urgent takes precedence. Maybe that's because it's more exciting. Maybe the consequences of not dealing with the urgent are more immediate. And it does tend to push out the important. Obviously, if things are urgent and important, they can also be not urgent and unimportant. And it's surprising maybe how often we actually do spend tasks on if subject to some sort of analysis, so that if we honestly evaluated, not only are they not urgent, they're not important either. Other people suggest using charts and putting things in colour codes. So we put our tasks, we give them a red, amber or green depending on their priority, and then that enables us to have a visual representation of what is ahead. I think, rather like SMART objectives, the creation of the chart becomes the task. We have a task, it looks great, but has that really made us progress anything? Was that really a good use of our time? Or have we just done something that we could actually put in the category of not important and not urgent? The third thing I'm going to talk about is procrastination. So when it comes to procrastination, do any of these things sound familiar to you? We almost encourage crises and interruptions. So the moment energy level raises somewhere in an office, it gets our attention. What's happening? What's going on? Can we join in? We look for excuses to avoid difficult problems. We know something's going to be difficult, so it's so much easier to say, oh, well, that's not really a problem for now, or, oh, that really belongs to another department. We try to delegate things that we know we don't like, and part of us is thinking, I really don't like this. How can I get someone else to do it instead? Common is to read emails or even letters in the post and not respond. Just, oh, I'll go back to that later. And you end up reading the email again and maybe still not responding. Do we leave stuff late in the day? And so we're almost making sure that we run out of time and are unable to complete a task. Or maybe we need lots of pressure from other people to make us do it. So it's only when you've got no choice but to actually do whatever is needed that you actually respond to that challenge. We might have colleagues who collude with us in procrastination. We're all at a meeting, we don't make any decision, and really all that's going to happen is that we've procrastinated and there is going to be another meeting at another time. Where we do make decisions at meetings, perhaps we never follow up. We make great plans, have great intentions, but they just don't happen. Or do we leave things to the last minute? Rather than making sure we don't have time to complete them, is that we leave things to the last minute so we have to do them in a rush. And that's sort of our excuse for not doing it terribly well. Do we look for distractions, actively welcome something that's going to prevent us carrying on with the task? Going back to the urgent and important, do we look for urgent but not at all important things so we don't have to engage with what we're supposed to be doing? Or are we one of those, well, I work better under pressure people who are able to use that as an excuse for really not getting stuck into things because they're waiting for that imperative of it do or die, has to be done? And all of those, I think, will recognise are essentially people who are not making any attempt to manage their time. Different commentators and writers give different advice for procrastination. And as you can tell from how I was describing it, there's something sort of morally wrong about procrastinating. People like Tim Urban would say some people don't actually have any choice. And it's only when they are absolutely forced to do something that they will, and not always, actually be able to deliver. Other people think that procrastination really is just a manifestation of anxiety. We feel bad, we're not looking forward to doing something, it's unpleasant, it's daunting, it's perhaps harder than we think we're able to do, and that's a horrible feeling. So putting it off and doing something that at least temporarily makes us feel nice is actually a rational response to that anxiety. And what, of course, happens that the task doesn't go away. The temporary feeling of distraction has cheered us up for a while, and then we have more anxiety and more fear about not completing it successfully. So what's to be done? I think the techniques I've talked about already, let's look at the time that we're spending on various things. Let's try and classify the activities that we have to do and categorise them. Actually, just being aware of all those things that are actually indications of procrastination. And maybe we're fooling ourselves and thinking that we're not really procrastinating, but these are real emergencies or whatever it is that we're responding to. We always advocate at the Institute of Leadership and Management that you have to start with self-awareness. So you have to be honest with yourself and saying, I am putting off doing something because I don't want to do it. And one technique that has been introduced to me a few years ago by Stutz and Michaels was to actually what they called the reversal of desire. When you know you don't want to do something, embrace it and try and tell yourself you absolutely do want to do it. It's your favourite thing. You can't wait to get started. And just that different framing of the problem makes it easier to engage with. Because although we often joke about procrastination, it is very serious and it is wasting a huge amount of time. If that is driven by anxiety and fear about not doing things well, then it's quite a serious problem for leaders and managers. So if people are not meeting deadlines, they are giving us the I wait till the very last moment because I do my best work then sort of excuses. Let's find out what they really can't do and what the barrier is. And it might be a confidence issue and it might be a capability issue. But it's not okay, because if we're putting off things that we should be doing, we're not making ourselves feel good in the process. We're just adding to the anxiety and stress of work. I hope you found this podcast helpful. Please go on to our website, www.institutelm.com, and download the webinar, which is part of the Being a Better Homeworking series that we're putting on this week.